Today is a big day. I mean, our students have come back. New students are here for the very first time, and we got a lot going. At the end of services, Will's going to take some time and introduce those first-year students to you, those that are able to be here today. Some are preaching and aren't able, but we'll do that at the end of services. Let me say a word of this. Actually, there is. I trust this one more than that one. Thank you. But what I wanted to say is, with reference to Tom and Jill Shepherd and their children, you know, sometimes it's easy just to be, you know, you go to church and you hear, this is what I got to do, and this is what I need to do, and this is what I need to do, and I need to do better here, and we get all these admonitions. But, you know, sometimes you just need to be praised, and, you know, we're thankful that this family has come. They've come from Poplar Bluff, Missouri. That's where Kim is from, and they attended the congregation where her dad served as an elder for many years. When Kim's mom passed away, Jill actually helped us sell Kim's mother's house. And so, you know, we had a little bit of connection there. Didn't really even know each other, though. And but I want to tell you what they have said, and I think this is something you need to know. Their work skills enable them to go anywhere in the country. And when they decided to move from Poplar Bluff, they could have gone anywhere. But you know why they settled here and chose here? Because of you. Because of this congregation. Of all the places they could go, they chose where they were going to live by the church that they were going to attend. And Tom came a few months back and scoped us out and worshiped and said, I've got to bring my wife. She's got to come out here and see these folks. And she came and their children. And they just at that point started trying to make things happen. And they are here now. They have moved and are part of the community. And I thought you ought to know that, that you're that well thought of. And a lot of times, if you've grown up here, you don't appreciate what you have here. But sometimes when you get away, you realize just how good it is. And so we're glad to have you guys with us. We appreciate that. And it's good to have all the students. And like I said, Will be introducing them. But here's what I want to do this morning. I want us to look at a couple things from God's Word that have to do with this congregation in principle. And I want to talk about, and I want to speak specifically just a moment or two to our students. And I want to speak to the congregation as well in this lesson. Before you can become a preacher, you have to be a student. You don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be a preacher and just start preaching. You have to learn God's Word. There's a heavy responsibility placed, James chapter 3 and verse 1, upon those who would teach, because you have the obligation and the privilege to represent God, but you want to do that accurately. The last thing in the world anybody would ever want to do is claim to speak for God and not say what he once said. Can you imagine that? And so it takes study, and this congregation has for the past 45 years, in 1971, for the past 45 years, we have trained preachers. This congregation is unique. I've been to a lot of churches before, and you might find a church that's been around a long time, and they have maybe a handful of guys that they can say, oh, you, that boy, that preacher, he grew up here. We groomed him, and he became a preacher someday. Most congregations, some congregations can say, we've got a few of those. In the past 45 years, this congregation has trained more than 400 men to go out and preach the gospel. There aren't very many churches that can claim having done that. What I'm trying to say is that this church is a church that loves preachers and loves the gospel and loves the world and understands the connection between preaching and reaching lost souls. And so we've spent a lot of time and a lot of resources on training men to preach the gospel. In the Old Testament, there are some references that you can look at in 1 Samuel. It's in the outline, 1 Samuel chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 18, 2 Kings chapter 2 and chapter 4, that would lead us to believe that there was a school of sorts of the prophets. Some leading men, Elijah and others, Samuel, they had a group of men that followed with them. And I can't think of any other reason than to receive instruction and direction and training by these experienced prophets. And they were very useful to God in that period of time. And that's in essence what this congregation has chosen to do. We want to be a place where men can come and they can spend 2 years of their life in a very rigorous, disciplined program, going to class every day, and leaving here now with a degree in Bible and prepared to preach. And we do that at great cost and great expense and great inconvenience to a lot of people, but it's worth all of it. And so I want us to talk to all of us here today. And let me say this to begin with, because I think this is it's just a point of focus that makes all the difference in the world. You know, sometimes you can read a passage and you can see it and you know what it says, but you miss the focus and it changes the whole meaning. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 2, I want you to see what the Lord says there. We're familiar with the verse. You may not know what I'm going to say here in a minute, but when I start, you say, oh, yeah, I know that story. Then Jesus said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of harvest send out laborers into his harvest." Here's the point of focus. Have we ever been guilty of praying for the harvest? Now, I'm not saying don't pray for lost souls, because we're to do that. But has our emphasis been on praying for them, praying for the lost, praying for... What Jesus says in this passage is, I want you to pray not for the harvest, but for the laborers. I want us to pray for men who will go out in the field and harvest. It's not... And here's what that focus does. It's a difference between responsibility on them and on me. You see, if I place the obligation on the harvest, you know, those people in the world that are lost and need to obey the gospel, if I place all the obligation on them, then I can relieve myself of any obligation. And I say, you know, it's on them. You know, we open every week at 9:30 in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning. They can come if they want to. And if they don't, you know, well, they had their chance. That puts it on them. But Jesus said, no, I want to put it on you. You're the ones that have the truth. You're the ones that know better. I want you to go forth and reap this harvest. And so the prayer and the obligation is for us to send forth laborers, not to reap, but to send forth laborers. And we've taken that responsibility seriously here. We talk about the Great Commission. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says the Great Commission. We call it that because it is great. And it's listed and mentioned four times. Jesus says it in the book of Matthew, in all four gospel accounts, Matthew chapter 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So he says it in Matthew. Mark picks up the same story. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Luke picks it up in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." And then you can turn to John chapter 20 and verse 21, and Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. All four gospel accounts mention this commission of taking the gospel to the lost. And that's what we want to do. That's our mission. It continues on today. And so let me say to the students, I don't know of another congregation quite like this church. You're in the right place if you want to preach the gospel. If you want to train yourself and educate yourself and know and spend time digging into the word, listen, this is the place to be, guys. I say that because this church has invested so much in preachers and preaching. A few years ago, I'm just going to do this again. I did a little bit differently a few years ago, but if you are related to if you have a preacher somewhere in your family, uncle, granddad, dad, nephew, brother, whatever, cousin, if you have a preacher in your family, will you raise your hand and raise it really high? I want you to look around. Look, keep your hands up for a second. I want you to see how many people have preachers in their family. Okay, I don't know if you would have that in most churches. You know, well, yeah, no one in my family. In 2014, there were 233 members of the Carnes congregation who had preachers in their family. What that means and why that's, I think, important is it develops there's an understanding and maybe an empathy toward those who preach the gospel. And those who didn't raise their hand, if I could have you raise your hand again, how many of you know a preacher you kind of halfway like? You know, more hands might go up, or maybe less, I don't know. But the idea is that we understand, we know preachers, we respect them, they're a part of who we are. And we have spent time, this congregation has spent time training them. Like I said, since 1971, 400 plus preachers have gone to this school and left here and gone out into the field to preach the gospel to the lost. This congregation has, in that period of time, over 45 years, it's spent millions, literally millions of dollars in preparing and training preachers. And what I want to say to you students is that you have a unique opportunity here because you're in the right place. You're in a place where the members here for a generation, more than a generation, have said, we're interested in what you want to be and what you want to do, and we're going to help you. And they have provided financial support, and they've rounded up the teachers to be here to be able to instruct you in the Word of God. And to you, I would say 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It is required that in a steward that we be found faithful. I want you to be faithful while you're here. I want you to be faithful to the call and to the task that you have been given and pour yourself into this. Don't just get by. There are too many sacrifices that have been made and too much investment in you for you to take this lightly and not to do your very best. You'll never regret doing your best. I've had guys since I've been here come back and say, you know, I wish I would have applied myself more. I've never had anybody who really applied themselves say, I wish I wouldn't have learned so much. That doesn't happen. So while you're here, take advantage of the opportunities that you have, that you've been entrusted with, and busy yourself in your work, but don't forsake the church. Don't lose sight of Jesus while you're pursuing a knowledge of Him. Don't let your personal relationship with Him suffer because you got book work to do. get involved in the life of this church and the congregation. Get to know the people. Let them edify you and build you up and strengthen you and encourage you. And when you leave here, you will have made lifelong relationships with people. I can't think of anything better. Listen, you're in the right place if you want to preach. And to the church, let me just say this. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, the church at Philippi sustained a very unique relationship with the Apostle Paul. As you know, he was one of the greatest missionaries in the Bible of all time. And we read about the incredible things that he did, and he was supported oftentimes. But Philippi was a church that supported him from the very beginning. And here's what the Apostle Paul had to say. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. And he said, it's not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Do you see that? Paul said, church, you have been great to me. You have met all my needs. Not just once, but over and over again. You met my needs. You sent me the money that I needed and helped me to survive. But listen, I'm really thankful to that, not because you made life easier for me and you gave me, you know, an extra dollar. He said, the thing that impresses me and excites me the most about you is that all the work that I've been doing because of your support, you bear fruit to your account. Do you understand that? What Paul was saying is, when I go out and I make converts to Christ, that's credited, it's written down in the ledger on your account as if you had done it because you supported him. I don't know who I heard say it, but I thought it was a good statement. It was a preacher a long time ago, and maybe somebody can tell me who it was. But he said, you know, not all of us can do mission work in person. Not all of us can go in person, but we can all go in purse, maybe. You know, maybe we can't go in person, but maybe we can open our wallets and open our purses and give some money to somebody that can go. And when they do good, we do good. It's credited to us. And I can't help but think this congregation here, more than 400 men have spent 2 years of their life here studying the Bible every day. And they've gone out into the world and they've gotten in local congregations and they've preached to hundreds, thousands of people and converted no telling how many. The Lord only knows. And the good that they do is credited to your accounts. That's good news. That ought to make you feel good. You may not be able to do that personally, but through your sacrifices and your giving and your sacrifices of all the things that you've done for these guys while they're here, you bear in that fruit. And I want you to take comfort in that knowledge. We believe preachers are necessary. It's through the foolishness of preaching, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, I've chosen to save the world, or God has chosen. It's that message that is preached that converts the hearts of men and women. So we have to have preachers. But preachers aren't born. They're made. And they're made with a lot of sacrifice and intention and financial needs being met, instruction. It takes a lot of work. And that's what you have put yourself to that task of doing. I want us to continue. This new year is exciting. Like I said, in a little bit, Will's going to introduce some of the first-year guys. But I want you to understand that, man, we're doing a great, great work here. There's a lot of good that we can do and still can do the future is bright as long as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus and live by his word. Where I used to preach, I've told you this before, but there was a man who always prayed. Whenever he would pray, it would just kind of just hit me kind of the wrong way. Because in his prayer, he'd say, Lord, we're thankful for Steve, all the work he does. Lord, wear him out in your service. I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if I always wanted to revise that and say, how about wearing some of the rest of you out too? I mean, just give me some company here. But instead of praying that prayer, what I think I would like to ask God, if we could revise that, I'd say, Lord, use us in your service so that when we come to the end of our lives, we die empty. We die drained. We die spent in service to God. That's the way I hope we all leave this world. Listen, if you're not yet a child of God and today you need to make that decision, we invite you to come. We'll pray for you. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we'll take your confession of faith in Christ, let you confess that to this congregation of people, and we'll baptize you into Christ this hour. If you haven't done that and you need to do that and be a part of the family of God, we'll assist you in that. If you're a child of God already, but unfaithful, and you know, you just want to come back home, you want to be more faithful, you want to be forgiven, we'll pray with you to that end. If you'll come as we stand together and sing.